Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET. Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have, or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code WEALTH. That's monarch.com, promo code WEALTH.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Rhonda Kulch, and thank you so much for joining us today. For those of you that follow me, you know that I love creative minds, and today's guest is no different. Today, we are with Matthew Chang of Chang Robotics, and hopefully, you can enjoy him as much as I do. So, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Rhonda.
You know, you're one of those guys, it's almost like an enigma. Right? You almost frighten me with how smart you are.
Whoa.
Right? Yeah. And it's like fighting words right now. You almost frighten me with how smart you are because, you know, my brain works in very specific ways and your brain works in very specific ways. And when you put that together, we have this beautiful blend of business.
That's right.
So I would love to chat with you today about Chang Robotics. Let's start with what was your mission, your thesis really behind creating the VC fund?
Well, that's all about reindustrializing America. And we do that by investing in manufacturing tech. That's a word a lot of people haven't heard because most people don't know much about manufacturing. So we're looking for the technologies that are going to help American industry be the number one manufacturing economy on earth. And so I think we're pretty good at finding those, and we're going to keep on doing it.
So if I understand correctly, you are looking for the organizations and the companies with the technology, and you're looking to help amplify them, grow them, and scale them. So when we talk about VC and we're talking about funds, that's a whole other component because you require investors to do that.
Totally.
So how are you screening the businesses that you are identifying, and then how are we matching that with investors?
Yeah, we have a scouting program. And so we're identifying companies that we think are interesting. And then we have an underwriting. And the underwriting is a little different than what you'd see from venture capital out there in America. So what we really start with is the founder. Okay, we're going to look kind of deep inside the character and the personality of the founder. We want to know their personal story. I want to sit with all of our founders. We've done 9 so far that we've invested in. I've broken bread with them before we underwrite because I want to get a sense of who this person is. That's step one. Step two is we also first go to technical underwriting. I'm an engineer. My whole team is engineers. So we're going to look really hard at their technology to figure out, does this work? Is this going to solve a problem that we know exists? And if it does, then we go to the conventional VC underwriting, which is, you know, your financials and legal type stuff.
How many people have you met that you've said, this is the guy or the girl? And have you ever had that opportunity where you've met them and you go, I don't want them for their fund, I want them for mine. Or I don't want them for their project, I want them for mine.
It's always all of the above. You know, I'm always going for integrity in life. Root word of integrity is integer. It just means one or wholeness. So with all of these people, if I couldn't see myself working with them, we're not going to invest in them, right? And of course, they're building a company today. We're investing in that company. But what are they going to be doing next? Well, I hope working with me.
Good point.
Yeah.
Really good point. So you are out there scouting for the talent, but at the same time, you can't help them unless the capital is being raised. So it's really two very different components that we're talking about.
Yeah.
How are you, I don't want to say how are you doing on the fundraising and what can we do to help, but let's talk about the fundraising for a minute, right? That is really critical. component to making sure that this works for you. So how are you getting the message out so that you can locate the investors or impact funds that may be interested in working with you?
Yeah, I'd say to date, it's really word of mouth. You know, it's us using our network and, you know, talking to you right now is part of us wanting to get the story out to people that are on the sidelines. They want to invest in manufacturing. They just don't know how. Right. And quite frankly, no one's brought a VC product like this to market before. So it's not like we have conferences where there's 10 other VCs just like us all attending and presenting. I mean, we're kind of trailblazing here. So I think now's a great time to get the word out that if you believe in American manufacturing, if you want to see more industry in America, you want to see us make again, then we're a very viable path for that. Not only do we design factories in my robotics company, but we also invest in them in my fund. And so we want to kind of marry the two together. What do large producers in America need? What do small producers need? Okay, let's go find that technology and bring it to them.
And somebody like myself with a wide network of people that are in the financial space, potentially, as long as we're an accredited investor, can participate in your fund.
Yeah, venture capital is regulated. You know, we went through the SEC to get our license. So yes, the minimum requirement is accredited investor. We did some research. There's 20 million accredited investors in America, so it's a pretty good number. And then also, I think a lot of institutions right now don't have exposure to manufacturing. So how are they going to get that? So we're trying to address that by creating kind of two buckets, you know, regular people that want to invest. Those are your accredited investors. Okay. And then institutional size, where they're going to want to be more hands-on and maybe invest more capital.
If I'm an investor and I'm looking to invest into your fund, give me an idea of what I should expect as far as holding time. Like, one of the biggest questions I get when I'm talking to people is, I would love to invest, but I'm afraid that I don't have the time.
Right.
Right. Have you put together a timeline of when you think
absolutely
some movement may happen?
Yep. So we have a 5-year fund. Okay. To begin with, that's radically different than venture capital, which does 9 and 10 year funds. Yeah. So we have a 5-year fund. That means at the end of 5 years, if we're still holding a portfolio company, we better start making an exit strategy fast because our time limit's coming up. But we also are doing something very different than VC. We're not recycling money on early exits. So we're pushing for early exits and our investors get a payout on every exit. So for some of, I have a couple older investors. They're worried they might not be around to see the end of the fund. I said, first off, you will be. We'll get you on a fitness plan as well. But, you know, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be paying out with every exit, which could start 12 months from now. So I said, you can kind of think of it as an annuity because you're going to be getting cash flow back out of your investment as soon as we start generating exits.
I love that. So you started by saying that you've already invested in 9 companies. If I remember correctly, your goal for this fund was 15 companies.
Right.
So as you're building, growing, and scaling, as those companies potentially exit, somebody could be paid back. An investor would be paid back along the way.
Yeah, not can be, will be, right? And here's the reason why. Some of the first people that we had to waive our minimum requirements for were my mom and dad. Okay. My mom's a retired nurse, and she met the threshold for accredited investor by a very small margin. And I said, Mom, you don't have to invest. You know, I'll take care of you through retirement. And she goes, Son, I am investing.
She believes in you.
Fair enough.
She believes in you. She'll make it work.
I think we had to go to her house to get the check, but we found a way that she could do it. And, you know, so when I look at her, I've told her something. I'm going to live up to it, right? Mm-hmm. And she certainly knows how to hold me accountable. So we will be paying back our investors with every single exit. And the other thing we're working on is not all of our founders are 30-year-old or 25-year-old Forbes under 40 types.
Okay.
Some of them are a little mature in their careers. They just happen to be interested in starting a company, let's say in the last half of their career. So we owe them the opportunity to get a fast exit, right? Because they don't want to do this startup game forever. As you know, building a company is hard. It's hard on your family. It can be hard on you personally. It's very stressful. So we want to get them to a place where their technology can mature as quick as possible, and that involves strategic exits. That means selling a really cool technology to a big company, you don't necessarily have to do an IPO with every single company.
But and that makes so much sense, you know, that I love that you've pointed that out, because there are different times that it makes sense for different people. When you have a younger, I'll say, you know, inventor, right? Mm-hmm. Or creative. I like to use the word creative. When you have a younger creative, their life challenges are a little bit different than somebody else that's mature, right? You know, like, yeah. I'm in my 50s right now. I am still a creative, but there's a point in time where I might need to think about really what is my next 5 years. We're mapping out our exit strategies differently. So I love that you're also looking at other people that have experiences, and then you're matching them so that you can amplify them and exit along the way. So I want to, you know, kind of pull back a minute here. You're a creative, and again, I use that word, and you think about all of these ways that you could use manufacturing technology, robotics. Mm-hmm. That's one very big pathway. What was your experience like when you realized that you actually had to learn business and funds?
Well, that was a different degree,
yeah. Right?
I spent 20 years in the engineering trade to get to where I have the level of expertise that I have now. I had to learn business when I opened a company, and I had to learn it fast. Mm-hmm. So I would say that felt to me harder than doing robotics, was learning the rules of business. And so I've been through that founder's journey myself, you know, haven't been very good at a trade. And then applying, now I have to lead teams, yeah. And I have to have banking and financing and be legally compliant. We do contracts, right? So it really does add a lot of complexity on the founder's plate. So what we try to do is we try to offer that mentorship. So we do have a secret weapon. My dean of business, when I went to MBA school, works in our fund. And what I tell the founders is, he taught me business. He's going to teach you business.
So in other words, you built a really good power team.
That's right.
And I only ask you that because for those that might be watching, they may love and be super dialed in to what Chang Robotics is doing, but they're going to want to know about you as a founder for the fund.
Yeah.
Right? Do you have the credentials where they can trust that their money is safe?
Yeah. Well, so far, I'm up to about 20 different, you know, angel investments in startups personally. So far, we've had no write-downs, which means nobody's gone out of business mm-hmm. yet. And quite a few of those investments have taken the next tick up in valuation. I'm doing pretty good personally because I start with the person and I start with mm-hmm. the technology. I don't mm-hmm. just look at the PowerPoint. Do I have experience running a VC? I'm learning every day. How did we fix that? Well, we hired a power team. So we have on our general partnership, we have an investment banker that banked the banks. His name is Forrest Hayes. Mm-hmm. And so he has decades of experience running the largest investment vehicles for the biggest banks and the biggest sovereign wealth funds.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a question, I just text him, and that's an easy way to get a quick answer.
The best part is you know where to go.
Right.
I always tell people, are you staying in your lane?
Yeah.
Right? So again, when you have a fund and you're running a business, that might deviate from where your creative senses are. You know, it's being able to delegate, have the power team, and then be able to know who to call when you need those answers.
Yep.
You know, so let's pivot again.
Sure.
Because I could do this with you all day. So first of all, you're doing an amazing job, but you also have 4 children and you're super dialed in to your community. You're doing a lot of work in Jacksonville. So how, number one, are you creating work-life balance? What's that like for your family watching you be pulled in all these different directions? And then second of all, let's talk about what you are doing in your local community, because I feel like it really needs to be acknowledged and hopefully you inspire somebody else to start, you know, making similar trends.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to that integrity thing. Mm-hmm. In my career, when I was an employee and I was learning engineering, I had different hats, right? I had my work hat and my weekend hat and my church hat. And then I added the dad hat and the husband hat, right? I think I got the order backwards, but you know how that life goes.
Yeah.
And so what I just decided was it's all going to become one. So the way we do it in my family, and I have 4 small kids, the oldest is in first grade, you know, the youngest is just getting her first teeth, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got that young kid drama in our house, is number one, all the kids are welcome in dad's work. So we have a robotics laboratory. My kids just went to programming camp there. for just them. Okay. They were the only kids. And so they get to see and appreciate the work I do. My wife is a healthcare provider, so they also, I take them to the hospital so they can see mom work and appreciate what she does. Mm-hmm. You know, dad builds robots, that's cool, but mom saves lives. So that's one thing we do. The next thing we do is we do travel together. So if I have an extended work engagement that's out of town, it's not uncommon for me to bring the family with me. And we'll just get an Airbnb instead of a hotel, and they get to explore a new city. So if dad has to travel, one of the first questions is, do we get to go? Not to all of them, but we make it happen enough that it's integrated. And then for the community, I think my children are being raised to be super grounded in community service and giving. And so when they see me do it, they've learned that that's who we are as a family, is that we're going to give back.
Talk to me a little bit about some of the projects that you have worked on, because I feel like it's great that we're having this, but I want people to really have a deeper understanding about the projects that you've worked on, because you've been part of some integral parts of technology that we take advantage of every single day. And you're one of those guys that sits behind and don't, you know, you haven't gotten the right, I don't want to say recognition, but talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we don't need the recognition. We just like solving problems. And what we've really become is a company that builds first-of-a-kind things. That is really our identity. It's the passion area that we have. Our people get excited about it. We don't do a lot of rinse and repeat. We do a lot of innovation. So I'll just run through a quick list with you. It's like a timeline of our company history. We designed the nation's first autonomous mass transit system. That means autonomous driverless city buses that are now driving the streets of America. That was first designed by us, and we did convince first-term President Trump that he should fund our city to be the test bed. Mm-hmm. So next time you're in Jacksonville, we'll ride the driverless buses together.
The anxiety.
We developed the first autonomous factory in America, mm-hmm. where the entire factory runs off autonomous robotics, and that means the robots have decision-making capacity. So they start to work in a team with their human overseers. And what it does is it just lowers the physical demands on the humans. You know, they don't have to do the heavy lifting anymore to do this intense production. They manage robotics. And what we found was we were training 55-year-old people to come in because they wanted to leave other great companies and they wanted to be hands-on with robotics. So that's manufacturing. We designed a ton of innovation in e-commerce. If anybody's had their e-commerce their prescription drugs delivered via mail, the first automated e-commerce pharmacy in America was done by my team. And then most recently, we brought online the first autonomous hospital. And this is a system by nurses for nurses. I told you my mother is a retired nurse, so there was extra stakes to get it right. So now what we've learned is 96% of nurses that work with our robotics love them. That means if they were ever taken away, you'd have some very upset nurses. And that meant we got it right because we started with the human element and we had the nurses involved in the engineering. I'm sure that was fun for them. Mm-hmm. They probably thought we were a bunch of dorks. When we were done with it, it meant it was a system by them for them. And we're going to be making an effort to bring that to every hospital in America.
You know, what I want to touch on is there are so many people that are out there that are, I don't want to use the word anti-technology, but as a combination of listening to technology, robotics, and AI, there's so many people that are in fear of losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. So let's just, you know, break through the myth of that. You know, your company, your fund, and what you are creating works with humans. You're not necessarily, you're looking to make them better by bringing in these missing links or inability. Give me a few examples.
We have never had a layoff as a result of our robotics. So we serve companies. The companies want robotics, and then we design, install it, invent it. We've never had a layoff. Well, you say, how can that be? Aren't the robots doing work? Well, they are, but the humans are happier. So we've gone through the bus drivers union, has endorsed our designs. That's not a group that you would think loves technology. Yeah. We've been through the nurses. I just talked about that. Mm-hmm. We've been in the factory workers and the e-commerce workers. And our next frontier is we're going next year in front of the longshoremen, those port workers that have shown us how much influence they have over the nation. We're going to be presenting them with a technology plan next year. And I'm very confident we'll get their endorsement because we're going to start by listening to their concerns and what's good for their union members. So when you can kind of put all this together, it just makes sense, right? You think of like the technology in your iPhone. Does anybody feel displaced by that? No, you just kind of love it and you use it. Yeah. At this point, we're probably sick of it too. It's too much communication. But that's an example of technology bringing you new access and information. Robotics can be the same, but you have to do it the right way. And so that's what we always do. We talk to the workforce, we interview them intensely, and we invite them into the process before we begin. And certainly as we build it, we get them hands-on with us. What that leads to is upskilling. So that's the big buzzword in workforce development now, mm-hmm. is how do you take a workforce that may not have formal training, how do you get them upskilled? And what I like to say is after every project we do, the workers can maybe get their first LinkedIn page. Because now you have robotics certificates, you have control certificates, maintenance certificates, you have marketable job skills. Mm-hmm. And it's easier. The work is easier because the robots do the heavy lifting. So that's our viewpoint, and I don't think we would do it any other way.
This you may not necessarily know the answer to, but let's just go for it anyway. Companies come and they hire you to be the creative to figure out the technology. Has there been a time where you've sat back and you've listened to the cost of implementing that technology? I know that's always a concern for people. Mm-hmm. You bring on technology. Does the cost of the technology, for how fast technology changes, right? When you're a company and you're looking to make those changes, you know, how do you address those needs?
Short answer, it's called system thinking. Mm-hmm. Long answer, what you're describing is called planned obsolescence.
Okay.
So we do have planned obsolescence in our lives. We change our vehicles every so often. A lot of people change their housing every so often. Certainly our phones only work for a few years before they just don't keep up anymore. Mm-hmm. That's very common. We expect things to be kind of replaced by the next generation. If you design a system, which could be an entire factory or a smart city, and you design it properly, then you know which elements are likely to be obsoleted. And you look forward to the obsolescence because that means a new thing is there and available. So what it does get kind of complex. The long answer is would maybe take me an hour. But we have to work with the CFOs because mm-hmm. they're concerned about the useful life and the depreciable life of the asset,
yeah.
right? That you've heard CEOs, mm-hmm. CFOs say that. We have to work with the maintenance team because they don't want to learn new maintenance every 2 years because we keep swapping stuff out. And then we have to also look at when does technology make sense? So the question I get asked like every new client consultation, I would like to have an AI-driven this or that, AI-driven hospital, AI-driven factory. And I'm like, I bet you would. But to get there, we got to do some foundational stuff, mm-hmm. right? And also AI is not quite ready to run your operation yet. It needs to develop. So we just develop a plan to intersect those two ideas. We're going to get you in a state of readiness. And then when you look at the market and you can just bring AI, for example, into your operation, you've done all the basic stuff with data and automation and robotics and workforce development. Those have happened so that we can bring in this next gen technology.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know that you sit with me today. You've sat with so many other people because you're looking to get your voice out there. You're looking to be heard. What is your favorite topic to talk about? You know, like when you have small windows, what is your favorite topic to talk about?
I mean, for us as a business, it really is the purpose-driven company. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're a Christian company, and we have had to figure out what that means in robotics, right? How could a robotics company be a Christian company? Mm-hmm. So I think we found a really good answer. We are very confident in the way that we do business and that it's pleasing to the Lord. So for us, it's about kind of marrying those two ideas together. We're not giving up who we are on Sunday with the engineers that we are on Monday. It's mm-hmm. just one thing for us. And that applies to any business. So when I'm talking with a lot of business owners or would-be owners, mm-hmm. I kind of encourage them that if you're firm in your principles and you know who you are, you can integrate that into your business from day one.
I love that. You know, also, you know, as you're growing, you are out on the road a little bit more. What kind of things can our audience, or I should say, what opportunities can our audience help you with? Are you looking for more speaking engagements? Like, you have a book coming out. Like, tell me more about, like, I feel like you have all these things. Like, I don't know what I'm allowed to speak about. But I feel like there's a few other things we can mention, but we could always edit them out. You know?
Yeah, I
you're an interesting guy. I want everybody to get
engagements,
that.
unless it's with you. So I did fly to New York to be here with you.
Thank you.
But I would say, you know, I have a book coming out that I really don't know what the after effects of publishing this book are going to be. I'll go ahead and share the title with you. It's called Risk Taking is Biblical. Mm-hmm. And it's a step-by-step guide for how the would-be risk taker, this could be a nonprofit founder, a business buyer, a founder. It's a step-by-step guide for what they need to do in their own lives to be in a position to take that life-changing risk. And then we also teach how that is biblically aligned, mm-hmm. right? That everybody of consequence in the Bible and in modern-day life took monumental risk to make a global difference. So we're going to encourage people with that. It's probably going to lead to a lot of inbound. The early kind of testing I've done with the faith community and mm-hmm. business community has been really strong. So I need to figure out how to manage that, right? That'll be a new level of publicity for us. And then in terms of partnerships, we're a super partnership-focused company. We are aligned with some of the greatest companies on earth already that look to us to be kind of their innovation lab, their ideas lab. So we're always looking to expand that. And so if anyone in your audience mm-hmm. wants to have a partnership with us and they think, hey, with us together, we could really move something forward, then we're always open for that.
You know, with that said, is there an avatar that you look for? I know it's so hard to answer that question because
for hiring or
just for anything. Like when you have so many different buckets. Like you have an avatar that you have for each bucket.
People with character. Yes, it's people with character, mm-hmm. and that's universal. That's whether we're mm-hmm. hiring. It's whether we are recruiting investors into our VC fund, mm-hmm. partnerships. Who are the companies we want to be aligned with? Clients. Mm-hmm. We can work for anybody, but do we want to work for everybody? Mm-hmm. Right. And so, yeah, it's character. It's it comes to, and we summarize it at my firm. We have a simple slogan that a very wise engineer taught me a long time ago, which is called the say-do ratio. How much of what comes out of your mouth gets done, right? And we're looking for people that have a perfect 1.0. Now, none of us have a perfect 1.0 where mm-hmm. everything you say gets done, mm-hmm. right? We all have things that we thought we would do and didn't work out. But we certainly don't work with people that have a low say-do ratio. And that goes back to character. Mm-hmm. Is the person a person of integrity? Are they trustworthy? Do we even need this contract between us? Or can we talk as people and resolve any differences, right? So that's what we're looking for. And again, it's the same underwriting for the employee, the investor, the client, or the partner is people of character.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Once again, everybody, I hope you enjoyed today. I could do this all day with this guy. He is just amazing. I learned so much. But if you want to learn more about Matthew Chang, where can they follow you?
Well, our website, we put a lot of content on there. Okay. So that's changrobotics.ai. A friend of mine said, because the AI is in the robots. So changrobotics.ai. For investors, we have two websites. For large investors, you know, institutional and family office, it's cr.fund. Very easy. cr.fund. Mm-hmm. And for the Main Street investors, we've been the first VC to open up an accredited investor-only portal, which is aimcompany.us. aimcompany.us. That took us all summer. We've just released it. And we're already seeing people come in. Fun fact, we've already had an electrician and a pastor come into that.
There you go.
Yeah. So you know, we're trying to democratize venture investing.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, stay well.